It's a good morning, isn't it?
It's a great morning.
Oh, it's good to be here. How many people find themselves singing different snatches of songs that we do on Sunday morning through the week? I think that might be the Holy Spirit reminding you of the truth of His goodness, right? All week long. Isn't that good? Yeah. Well, we've got a good day here.
I got a praise report this morning. I'm only 79 years old, which is pretty young, but as you know, I drive truck part-time. I'm not going to go into the details, but that is not a job for me. It is a ministry, and in more ways than one. Well, on Thursday, I had to go get a DOT exam, and they're very strict. How do you pass a DOT exam when a woman says, cover your eye and read the chart, and you have a cataract in your right eye and you can't read the chart? I passed the test and got a 2-year certificate. I don't care what anybody says, God wanted me to keep this ministry going. That was a miracle.
I have a praise report. My granddaughter called me several months back, and she asked, Grandpa, would you marry Eric and I? And I said, well, I would definitely be honored to. And so I did the, she lives up in Maine, so I did the premarital counseling by FaceTime. And so during that time, I introduced them, to the author of marriage, God Himself, and to Jesus Christ. And one of my last sessions with them, I led them in a sinner's prayer where they both accepted Christ. Then I had mentioned prior to that about, would you like me to, there's different things that you can do during the service. You can have communion, you can have these other things. And they decided to plant a tree. And then the day of the wedding, they said, we'd like to receive communion. Now, I had gone over communion, what it meant, and so forth prior to that. But here I was giving communion to my granddaughter and her husband for the first time in their life. And I was just so blessed by it all. But we don't know what God's going to do with our lives until He does it. And I was just so blessed by it, and I had no idea. My wife was listening to our conversation on the phone when I was leading him to Christ, and she's like, her mouth dropped open. She's like, did you, yeah, it just happened, didn't it? Yeah. So, praise God.
That's awesome. Anyone else? Well, I'll say something. We all know we have challenges in our family, in our families, for one reason or another. And a lot of people, possibly in all of our families, we have some that are saved, some that are not saved. In my case, both. I certainly know my son, but my daughter, I think, is not saved either. And so, it's as we all do, we pray for our children, and I have been for a lot of years. talking to my son yesterday, and he lives in Arizona, and I think now he's 100% disability as far as the military goes. He deployed to a war zone 5 times and got a lot of things going on with him. And but he was raised Catholic when I married his mother years ago. I never converted to Catholicism. But but the kids were raised Catholic, and And over the years, when he went to war, I remember him talking with him, and one of the hardest things I ever conversations I ever had with him was the first time he deployed to Iraq. He said, "Dad, if I die, I want to be buried next to Marty," because my younger son died back in 1990. And that was kind of a difficult conversation to have when you're talking about something like that. And so got all that. But anyway, over the years, he turned 60 last month. And believe it or not. And he's been divorced twice. A lot of issues again. He seems to enjoy going on dating sites and trying to find someone that that he can have as a friend or someone, and a few things have not worked out for him. And we don't talk that much often, but when he does call, he said, "Dad, I got a girl in fact, this is what it was yesterday. He says, "I got a girl, and she got MS, but she's 55 years old, we'll see where that goes." And I said, "Okay." And he said, and this is the gist of my whole story here. He said, "Well, she said that one word that really bothers me, you know, creation, and talked about creation, and." And he said, "Creation, evolution." He says, "I don't care." He says, "I don't care nothing about that." He says, "I don't care where I come from." And I said, "Well, Jason," I says, you got to know that we did not come from pond scum. You got to know that. I said, "We were created." "I don't care, you know," and all this. And he says, "All I care about is where I'm going." And I said, "Well," he says, "yeah." I says, "All I care about is what I'm doing tomorrow," or something like this. And I said, "Well," I says, "you know something?" I said, that's why you need a savior, so you know where you're going." And he said, "Dad," he says, "all I know is I'm going to be dead and in the ground. That's it. You know, what do I care after that?" And so. And I could see as soon as I said that, I could see that I could hear it, that he was very uncomfortable with continuing any kind of conversation. So we just talked about some other things, and he just got a VA refinancing loan for his house out there that he's working on, and so we talked about that, and then it ended up we just said goodbye and stuff, just hope that even with me saying that, you know, we hope that we plant a seed. You know, that's the goal anyway, you know. I remember talking with him a few years ago. He came, I guess it was the first flood that we had around the area here, and he came up to, he lived in Virginia at the time, and he came up to help me with our yard and everything. And we got into another conversation and talking about the Lord. And this is one thing that I did want to jump back to. I'm sorry for being long. That when he deployed the first time to Iraq, and he talked about, you know, if he gets killed or something like that. And I told him, "Well, you know," I said, "Jason," I said, "you know we're going to be praying for you." And he says, "I appreciate that. Thank you so much." So at that point in time, you know, he knew that we covered him with prayer and everything else. So there is that. So anyway, it's just, I forget where I did it. I want to else go with that. So I think I'll just stop. But the whole thing is that, you know, we just got to keep praying for our family. And it's so vitally important, and hopefully, I know what I was going to say, and this is important. Thank you, Lord. one of the conversations that I was having with him, that he didn't think he was worthy about anything because he said, Dad, he says, I've killed people. And I said, Jason, I said, don't you think that God is bigger than your unworthiness because you've killed somebody? He says, you know, all you need is just, you're just a prayer away. And so we've had, over the years, we've had certain things, certain conversations, you know. And so anyway, it's just important, and that we're certainly going to keep praying, of course, and hopefully we'll get another chance to further any kind of conversation, as we all should. Amen? Amen. Yeah, Tom.
Good morning, everyone. So the word says the Lord confirms his word with signs and wonders. So on October 1st, the Holy Spirit woke me up in the middle of the night and said, your name's in the book. I said, wow. And I took it just, whoa, okay. Then I just, me being me, said, oh, yeah, I'm in Rick's book. He's mentioned me. Then my name is mentioned in John in the Bible. I said, oh, okay. Then he said, no, in the book, Lamb's Book of Life. So that Sunday, Pastor John confirmed the word when he started saying, I'm in the book. And a day or two later, Carl Erickson does a devotional every morning, and he talked about being in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I thank God for the foretelling, reminding me that no matter what happens, my name is in the book. No man can take us out of the Book of Life. We're in the Book of Life. So it's just great assurance, seeing what everything that's happening. Your name is written.
All right, but first, we have to pray for Jason. So, Father, we do. We thank you that that word has been sown into his heart. Thank you that your word doesn't come back void. And we do pray for a soft heart. You're the one who changes hearts, so we just say, open those eyes, soften that heart, and that word is going to come forth. And just thank you, Jesus, for that man, Jason. And we just know you have a special, special plan for his life, Lord. Just protect him from any wrong relationships, and we just look for that strong relationship between you and him, Father. In your name, Jesus, amen. You take that heart of stone and you give a heart of flesh, and we receive that for Jason and Naomi, Lord. Amen. So we're free, free, free indeed, right? Quite a while ago, when we were in the Newport prison, I was praying for the inmates there. And I might have shared this with the ladies one time, but what I saw as I was praying for the men in prison was, I saw the men up here, they're in prison. And then I saw a circle, and they came down, 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 down to here, and they were free. So, you know, lots of men get out, and they're free, right? And then, as I was praying, I just saw the circle go whoop, and it right back up again. Lots of men also get reincarcerated. And so I was praying about that, and it's kind of funny because it's not funny, but lots of these guys that we minister to, they do better on the inside because they have that structure around them, that control, as you know. And then when they get outside, see, they don't have that control within them yet. To lead them and guide them and harness them. And so without that inner control, they go back in. So God's faithful. He does a work. If they're either up here in prison or down here free, he's going to make sure that work is done. But I think we'll just read the entire book of Galatians today and Colossians, because I go back and forth there with all kinds of verses that speak to this and the freedom that we have. But I know John's going to be preaching some kind of a good word on freedom, and we already started with a song. We are free, free forever. We are free. And if we can just remember that it's forever we are free, and we don't have to, as Christians, go back into bondage. And so some of the verses I had, which I probably won't bother with right now, are all about how, like Galatians 3, oh, you foolish Galatians, right? And that can be to us. Why are we starting off in the spirit, and then we think we have to finish things in our flesh? But that verse saves me a lot of times, because I'll just say back to God, wait a minute, this was your idea, you know, or you started this, or you put me in this. And so, you know, it's up to God. We can leave it up to God to finish that work if we let him, if we don't try to do it on our own, right? All right, so I would just like to read Galatians 3, 23 through 25, because this is a picture of that circle that I saw. Okay. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. So, of course, we want to do what's right, and we have the Holy Spirit to help us do what's right, but we aren't led by the law, and now we're led by grace, and we're free. We're free to live by grace. And I'll leave it up to you to read the book of Galatians and Colossians, but we will move on, and that's all I had to say. We are free, free forever. We're free. Yeah.